This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
I know you've been dying to find out what makes a good poo, and to let us know all about that, Helen Frost joins me on the line. Helen, thank you very much for chatting to me today.
Good morning, great to be here.
Now, Helen, first of all, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, myself, I'm a nutrition educator, and I spend my life, I plan to do that, just helping people to understand their body a lot better. Most people know what to eat. We know we should drink the water, eat the fruit and veggies, don't eat too much junk and sugar, and make sure we exercise, and then we've got to relax, and we've got to think positive thoughts every day. So we sort of know those things, but what we don't know is actually why we actually need the right foods in the right amount at the right time of the day, so we can feel great, sleep well, not crave, manage our weight, you know, just have a good positive mental attitude. And I find, you know, I guess with my learnings over the years and my interest in that people are really receptive to that and really want to help save their own lives. So I guess I've come from a teaching background and just have an absolute passion around feeling better and having some energy. So
I guess an indicator that you're on the right track would be having a good poo.
Well, having a good poo, look, a lot of people don't like talking about pooing, do they, Adam, really?
Not really, no.
It's like, oh, I don't talk about things like that. Well, what we've got, well, I look at the body very simply so we can actually sort of talk about it more comfortably. We're just like a tube, really. We've got a hole in one end, we've got two holes down the other end, we've got the arms and legs and the head hanging off it. Now, if we actually put the right foods into the top of the tube, you know, and we'll talk about the right foods in a moment, those foods go down into our body and they make, you know, really strong hearts and organs, and they go out to the muscles and build strength and shape and tone, and they go up to your brain so you can think really well and be positive and sleep well and not get depressed and things. And then they move down through your body. They just keep moving down, giving off their goodness, the vitality and energy and life. And, of course, every day, if we're eating the right things, they'll just come out the other end. It's just like, it's just like heaven.
Perfect.
Have you ever had a moment where you've had a really good poo and it just feels great?
I think we all have, Helen. I think we all have.
Well, that feeling is really important, but a lot of people are not having that moment. They're actually sort of got quite a strained look in their face, and they're really sort of gritting their teeth and, you know, really trying to sort of push the poo through, so to speak. So that just means that we're not putting the right foods in the top end of the tube. You know, as they move through, they go in and they add muck and glue, you know, gunk up, they clog up our heart and our brain so we can't think, and we get down and depressed, and we can't forget, you know, we forget things. They go out to the muscles, and the muscles get all sort of slack and sloppy and tired, and the joints start aching and get painful, and they sort of move down, just sort of blocking us up, really. And of course, when those foods sort of move through the pipe down, you know, to get downstairs, a lot of them sort of deviate off, and, you know, they sort of hop on your hips or your backside or your stomach, and, you know, just make lumps all over your body, and that's, you know, we tend to, you know, our pants don't fit anymore and clothes just don't look the same. And then when we try and get them out of our body, it is a real push and shove, and sometimes it just doesn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a cork up your bottom.
For sure. So, Helen, tell me, what are the characteristics of a good poo?
Well, of a good poo, it's one that you have every day and comfortably. And I guess to have a comfortable poo every day, we've got to get the basics right. And, I mean, one of the most important things to actually get things going is to make sure you drink water. See, a lot of people know water is important, but they don't realise that when they drink, the water runs down their pipe, washes all their brain and their body. It's the shower of the body. But it actually goes down into your bowel, and it softens all the food that you've eaten, because it's, you know, mixing with all the food. It softens all the food in your faeces so that when you go to the toilet, it's nice and soft and comfortable. It just slips out your backside. So, you know, it's a bit like going to the toilet. I mean, the thing we do last is flush the toilet. So you look at the water as the flush of your body. When you put it in your mouth, it goes down and flushing, cleaning, softening, so it slides out, and it's just like this great feeling when it moves out nice and comfortably. But the other most important aspect of having a good poo is actually having enough fibres. Now, in your toilet, everyone's got a toilet brush, and the job of the toilet brush is just to get the skid marks off the back of the toilet and things.
Yep.
That a lot of people are making it because they've got sticky poo. Now, when you actually eat fruits and vegetables and whole grains and wholemeal breads, wholemeal pastas, brown rices, you have the nuts and the seeds, in those foods, you've actually got the fibres. Now, the fibres are like the bristles on the toilet brush. So when you're actually eating whole, live foods, as I call them, ones that are off, you know, that are fresh off the tree and out of the ground and, you know, not long up, been running around the paddock, sort of type foods, the fibres go down into the gut, like the toilet brush would, and they sort of brush and scratch and, you know, keep everything chrome plated and, you know, get all the muck off the sides of the wall. And when you go to the toilet, you not only have the soft poo from the water that sort of is nice and soft and slides out, but you've also got the fibres coming through, and as they come out they give you a bit of a tickle, so it feels even better. You know, it's like this, oh, it's the best poo in the world. So the fibres are there to brush. But if you're not actually eating those whole foods, say you're eating, Adam, you know, you're doing the, you know, all the sugar and fat and cakes and biscuits and white bread and pastries and chips and takeaways and things with artificial additives and chemicals, and then you're throwing a bit of alcohol and soft drink in there, what you've got in those foods is no toilet brush. See, they don't have any toilet brush in them. And they tend to, you know, sugar and fat and white flour, which turns to glue when you put water in it, it glugs up. It sort of creates this really gluggy sort of mess down there that sort of sticks to your walls of your bowel and sticks to your bottom as it comes out, and you find you're wiping, and it just doesn't, this never-ending story trying to get it off.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So you're basically saying that's going to affect the consistency, probably the colour, and also how often as well.
How often? Look, when you've got glue stuck up your bottom, and that's because when you think that, you know, the white breads and white pastries and the white rolls and the burgers and those sorts of things and cakes and biscuits are all made from white flour, and when you mix white flour with water, you make glue, and we used to stick our kindy pictures up with that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you actually eat those foods that have got the white flour and they go into the body and they mix with a bit of water, of course they go down through the pipe, and then the water gets sucked out of the white flour, so you end up with this clag, this, I mean, it can almost end up like plaster Paris. You know, it's like having bricks up your backside, and trying to push those out is a bit of a problem.
For sure.
Mm.
Now, we're going to come back after just another song, and we're going to find out about, I've got a few friends that they like to go to the gym and they like to eat protein, so I'm going to ask you about that. Plus, I know I've got another person who's a bit of a fan of curry as well. So we'll just have a quick song, and we'll come back and we'll find out all about that. You're with Adam Barillet on All Natural on Joy 94.9, talking to Helen Frost.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
On the line still by Helen Frost, we're talking about the power of a good poo. Now, Helen, I've got a few friends, they like to go to the gym, and they know that to build muscles, they need to eat protein. Now, what do you need to be aware of if you're eating a lot of protein?
Well, with protein, it's 20% of our total body structure. So everything inside and outside your body has basically got a protein component to it. So structurally, when you look at a human being, you've got 70% water, you've got 20% protein, which is a significant part, and then you should have just a sprinkle of fat and sugar, which give you the energy and just pad you out in the right places, and then a sprinkle of vitamins, minerals and antioxidants, which protect you, and that's basically the formulation of the body. So that 20% is crucial to everything sort of turning over and being strong. Now, when you're actually doing weights and you're wanting to actually build muscle, obviously we have to actually feed the body a bit extra protein to actually build the actual structures of the body. But a lot of people in the gym pour it down their neck as though it's going out of fashion, and too much protein can and does turn to fat, because if we can't make something out of it, we just convert it to fat, but it can never be reconverted back to protein once it goes to a fat. And also it fills us up with a lot of acid, which is very toxic, and cancer actually feeds in an acidic environment. So if we're overdoing the proteins, we can create a very acidic condition that'll affect every cell and organ in our body, because anything bathed in acid is certainly not in good shape, short or long term. So with the proteins, actually calculated according to your ideal lean body weight. Or in the case of someone bodybuilding, you know, you would actually say, right, well, I'm wanting to put on an extra kilo or two. You don't sort of eat 10 tonne of protein because you want to put 5 kilos on, because you can't do 5 kilos all, you know, all at once. You actually gradually boost the proteins up as you boost the intensity of your training, so that you can actually build the strength in the structures that you're actually pushing harder through your weight routines and things, and taking on more weight and so on.
Gotcha. So if you're eating too much protein, would that show in your poo?
Yeah, well, it certainly does. In fact, a lot of people, if they're eating the red meat proteins and those sorts of things, they're very difficult to sort of break down in the stomach, because we don't have strong acids. So those types of foods actually rot and decay in the bowel to actually break down. So if we've actually got high protein, meat, chicken, fish sort of intake, hamburgers, you know, all of the quick, the animal products and things, and we're lacking the fibres out of the fruits and the vegetables and the whole grains and wholemeal breads to actually help to push that stuff through, what we actually end up with is a really congested pipe, because from the stomach to your backside, you're about six to seven metres long, so it's a long convoluted pipe down there. It's about 36.6 degrees inside, so it's really hot sunbaking sort of weather, and it's a bit like, you know, you drive past a dead kangaroo on the side of the road, it's putrid on a hot day. Inside the body, if you've got actually meat, you know, you've got a dead cow from the steak you've eaten, you've got, a, you know, the dead lamb laying, in, you know, down in the next couple of bits of the pipe, and a bit of fish and, you know, hamburger and a few, you know, chips or whatever you've eaten, sitting in there in 36 degrees, it actually festers and decays as it would, you know, out of your body in 36 degrees. So a lot of people have got this festering muck in there, you know, going off in 36 degrees. It all absorbs out of their bowel and goes to their liver, and because the liver gets everything that absorbs out of the bowel. And, of course, the liver gets all flat and blocked up, and then it can't cope, and all that stuff starts to seep out of the liver and into the body. And basically, you just about poo all over yourself. You know, all this stuff just gets into your blood, and it's just like a self-poisoning process. So, you know, I just say to people, we've got to get the cork out of our backside, and the only way we can is to actually flush with the water. We've got to drink 8 or more glasses of water a day. We've got to get those whole foods, live foods, fibres, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, not the white, dead, bluey, mucky, stick up your backside and rot from the inside out type foods.
So even if you were eating significant amounts of meat, it's really, really important to make sure you're still drinking that water and having that fruit and vegetables.
Well, if you're not having that, you know, you've just got this stuff that just sluggishly moves through your bowel and festers like a dead kangaroo on the side of the road. It's putrid. And the thing is, then the bowel condition, you get the irritable bowels, you get the wind, you get the bloating, you get the constipation, diarrhea, you get the ulcerative colitis, which is when you're bleeding and mucusing, you know, the Crohn's disease. And ultimately, you know, after itchy bottoms and all sorts of things, you can actually then end up with the bowel cancer. Now, bowel cancer is because you've got festering matter sitting in your 6-metre pipe going absolutely nowhere, and it rots and disintegrates the walls of the bowel, and they just break down. You know, and then of course it just seeps into your body, and I mean that's a life-threatening situation that happens, because, you know, lights are out real fast when you're poisoning yourself with that sort of you know, decaying, putrid, you know, matter.
Oh, for sure. Now, I've got one final question for you. Curries. Everyone knows if you have a good curry for dinner one night, you definitely feel it when having a poo the next day. Are curries actually bad for our digestive system?
Well, it really depends on how much, I guess, we're having of that type of food. You know, I mean, in India and places like that, they have a high incidence of liver cancers and things. And often, I mean, look, I can't believe how much chili people can actually eat. You know, I mean, I have a sniff of a chili and my taste buds can't taste anything, whereas some people can actually chomp them raw and add chili powder by the handful into their curry. If chili is a stimulant, helps to boost the metabolism and things, but I think in excessive amounts, like anything, a good thing can turn against you if we overdose on it. And if it's a really greasy sort of curry that you're buying from a takeout, you know, where they've just used some low quality toxic sort of oil or fat in it, you know, it doesn't tend to be that wholesome. But if you're doing a home cooked curry and you're using the beautiful curry powder, it's not being excessive on it, so that it tastes nice and it's well cooked without sort of a lot of fat and oil through it. I mean, it can be really beneficial.
Got you. So basically, in summary, the power of a good poo, the good thing about a good poo is that it's an indication that you're basically putting the right things into your mouth. Is that correct?
Well, it is. You know, I mean, if it's a 20-minute job where you're sitting there with a book and on your laptop, it's not good. If it's squirting all over the place, it's not good. If it's rabbit poo, we're not a rabbit, you know, that sort of thing. And if it's one of these ones that you sort of push hard and get half it out and then you take a breath and it slips back in, you know, I mean, you know that that's not good. There's not the flushing, there's not the brushing going on. So you've got to drink the water, eat the fibres, get things moving, and just cut all of the, you know, the dead, junky, fatty, sugary sort of foods which just clog our body, clog our bowel, and basically make us feel tired and sick and horrible.
Beautiful. Well, Helen, thank you very much for taking the time to have a talk to us today. I'm sure everyone's going to be very excited about what they're going to have for lunch today, and they'll be looking at their poo just a little bit harder for the next few days as well.
You want one every day, not every second or third day. Not good.
Okay. Thank you very much, Helen.
See you later. Bye.
There you go. That's Helen Frost. She's a nutritional educator talking to us about the power of a good poo.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.